Hello, I'm Connie Rotella, and welcome to our Triple Threat podcast. I'm super excited to begin this journey with all of you. Are you ready to put your best foot forward and show up with confidence? This tool is here to help you evolve into the artist you are meant to be. Just always remember to believe, become, and be ready. Add a new skill set or refine what you already know. So here we go.
Today's guest is the wonderful Maxime Giroux. He has more than 20 years of experience in casting in French and English commercials, features, web series, television shows. He's just an amazing casting director, and he's cast some of the award-winning films too. So welcome on Industry Talk.
Thank you, Connie.
You are here to answer some topics that are sometimes very flu. Like, we don't know exactly what it is because there's so much information out there. So I'm sure you're going to be able to clear a lot on how it works in the industry. But before going there, Maxime, how did you get started? How did you get involved in casting?
I have a bachelor in communications and I did the profile in television. So I was hoping to be someone behind the camera in television industry. And after finishing school, I ended up on set being a PA, and I realized very quickly that this was not my place. Mm-hmm. So followed a few years of searching, and then until one day I was at a dinner party with a bunch of other students that all had gone into television production behind the scenes. And then one of them said to me, well, what is it that actually makes you happy? And all of a sudden there was this light bulb moment, literal, like the light bulb turning on, saying, casting. I think that's what I want to do. I was living in Toronto at the time. I moved to Toronto for 5 years. I had a friend who was an actor, and I basically asked him to supply me with the list of all the casting directors in Toronto. And I cold called everyone and said, are you looking for some help? And I ended up starting to work at Powerhouse Casting, which is a company that still exists that mainly casts commercial. And I was there for a year and a half. And then I wanted to experiment the other side of the business. So I became an agent for 2 years. My partner at the time wanted to move back to Montreal. So in 2000, I moved back to Montreal, and I did the exact same thing, is that I cold call all the casting directors on the English side in Montreal, because I wanted to continue to work in English, even though I'm a Francophone, because I was like, I gained so much experience in Toronto. I think I should continue with this. There was an opening at Elite Casting, and I worked there for 8.5 years.
Okay.
Rosina, Vera, and Nadia. And then after that, I left and opened my own place, which is Maxime Giroux Casting, Inc. And I just celebrated my 14 years beginning of January. January
5th is my
anniversary date.
So. In all this experience, is the casting director that you like the best, like of all the titles?
Oh, I love what I do. I adore what I do because I work with actors and yes. I work with creative people. Thoroughly enjoy, because I just never know each day what the day will bring, because yeah. There's always a new project and there's always a new search. And so it's always a new beginning, which I love.
So in your years of doing this, how can you help us understand what an actor needs when it comes to auditions, self-tapes, demos? There's so many questions, Maxime. Mm-hmm. So where should we start? What do you see that we should know right away?
In this day and age, 2023, the importance of having a demo. You may be a new actor, have very little material. I think it's more and more important for your yourself, if you self-represent, or if you have an agent. So they have some material that they can send to whoever requests it. And also for your agents to get to know you better as an actor. I think a demo tape. And by a demo, I know most people wait years and years to have juicier
content
to edit and play, because oftentimes when you start in the business, you start with a smaller part. There's not much dialogue. Sometimes it's just it's an SOC or a very minimal dialogue-based role. What's important here is that if you don't have that, is to create one. It doesn't have to be a professional equipment. It can be film with your iPhone, as long as there's you're fairly well lit, We can hear you and we can see you. It could be done with a friend. Select a scene, whatever plays to your strengths in terms of actor. If you're more of a comedic actor, then pick a comedy scene from anything. It could be a TV show. It could be a film. It could be something that you wrote for yourself or that you found. Not necessarily a theater piece, because theater and film and TVs are two different ways of acting. Some theater scenes lend themselves to self-tape, but not all of them. Then use the person, not just necessarily as a someone reading a line off camera. You could both use this scene for your own personal demos and then film it. And usually we need two scenes, so one maybe more comedic and the other one more dramatic. That's enough material for anyone who's going to view it to get to know you better as an actor. It's a good starting point, and then you can add to it once you get more professional work, whether you short film or a part in a TV series or a commercial. Sometimes it's a really funny commercial with lots of dialogue or funny reactions, and you think it shows a side of you as an actor.
When you were saying the two actors, did you want to see the two actors in their demo?
Yes, why not? If you can both use it, or if you feel that you want to take advantage of this scene for your own personal demo, then maybe shoot two takes, one of them where you're in front of the camera and your scene partner is off camera. And then, so this way you don't necessarily have two people, but most scenes can be shot in any kind of location. So yeah, you could do it in the kitchen, in the living room. It doesn't have to be a set. I've seen so many demos of young student coming out of acting school, yeah, and they shot stuff with other students. And they're both on screen and it works.
You're able to tell them apart, because that was the confusion.
Absolutely.
If you only want to see one actor and focus on that actor, don't you get confused when there's two of them? Because you're like,
no, because usually when you receive a demo from someone, you will also get a CV and a picture. So it's easy for you to identify who the actor is. Oftentimes I have actor that want to use it as an introduction, okay, you know, specifying I'm the one on the right, or so it really depends on the actual scene. Sometimes it's more interesting to see both characters on screen, depending what the scene entails. Sometimes in a scene, there's a character that has more an emotional arc.
Yes.
So sometimes you want to showcase that one. We're open to anything as long as we can hear you, see you. It shows different sides of you as an actor. A demo should be about 3 to 3.5 minutes. So if you could have a couple of scenes, one of them could be a minute, the other one a minute and a half, or something like that, where you see there's a progression in the emotional arc of your character, and there's a somewhat of a beginning, a middle, and an end emotionally for your character. That's the best. Okay. That's what we love.
Well, for students starting off, or anybody starting off in this industry, it is so important that you understand the acting tools that is needed, your acting preparation that is needed to put on a demo, because just coming on and reading lines and you looking pretty on demo, can you tell the difference between an actor playing and someone just reading the lines?
Absolutely. There's nothing more boring than watching someone just saying lines and not acting.
So acting classes are so important. Your training is so important. Your foundation is important. What I love, Maxim, I've been doing this for a long time, and I do come from a dancer point of view, where I've been touring and choreographing. I've acted all my life, but acting was my second best love. Just like a dancer, you have to be invested in the number, in whatever you're creating on stage, and the, you know, impact that you're doing to the viewers. Acting is different because you're on screen, or you're in theater. Theater is the same thing as being on stage. But for me, is to make sure that the actor understands the preparation. And improvisation actors are the ones that can play and have freedom when it comes to playing a part. Can you tell the ones that do improv?
I must say that especially commercial, if you're auditioning for a commercial, a lot of directors request that. They love working with actors that have some kind of improv in their training. Directors love actors that have improv experience. There's a freedom with improv. There's also, what they love, especially comedy wise, is that there's a script that's written, but they also want to explore with the actors, the same situation and, you know, ad-lib some other sentences or do it as written and then do a few takes where the actors improv and then pick and choose once you're editing the best thing. And oftentimes we are told, especially in Montreal, because I do a lot of double shoots. So for people that don't know what a double shoot is that they basically they're shooting a commercial in two different languages. And most often it's with two sets of actors. So actors, Anglophone actors for the English version, Francophone actors for the French version. Oftentimes, what I'm asked to do is to find the Francophone actors. And I usually will send them because a lot of the English productions for commercials is done out of Toronto. So I will send the Francophone actors to Toronto. They will be on set with the same crew, the same director, and they will do what we call in the business a checkerboard shoot. So basically, it's basically like a checkerboard that they will start the one shot with the Anglophone actors, stop everything once they're done. The Anglophone actors shoot the exact same frame of the dialogue, and then they replace the English actor once they change the shot. And they do this all day long. Or sometimes they will shoot one day all English and the next day all French. It really depends on the type of production. And what directors love about, especially Francophone actors, is because in Quebec and in Montreal especially, if you're a professional actor and you do this full time, you can do many, many things. You could do like a voiceover in the morning. And then a rehearsal for a play in the afternoon. And then the next day you could be shooting a part in a TV series. You could do dubbing the next day. So the Quebec actors are very, very well-rounded. And also on the Anglophone side, they do a lot of voice work and then theater. And then if there's, you know, they're lucky, they can be shooting a part in a movie. I find that in Toronto, there is a lot more specialized actors, like actors that basically only audition for commercials and only shoot commercials and don't necessarily do fiction work or don't act in plays. So they're not as well-rounded. What I get from directors is that, the Francophone actors were so wonderful and so open and so prepared. And the improv side is always very interesting to directors. They love it.
That's so nice to hear. That is so nice to hear. So you Francophone, well, I could say Francophones are also the Anglophones because in Quebec, right? So it's the bilingual Francophone, Anglophone actors. You're doing a great job. The talent here in Montreal, there's so much heart and so much passion. Yeah. And then when we go out, they actually feel it because we've learned to do many things at the same time. And the fact that we can speak in both languages help tremendously the work, you know, like, I mean,
absolutely. They adore that. And I'm often asked to find for, the same kind of double shoots. Let's say we're shooting, the same version of a commercial in French and English out of, in Montreal. They, oftentimes, try to find a perfectly bilingual actor that will play both version because it's so much easier to shoot with the same actor. So basically you don't have to relight every shot.
Right.
So you can shoot, quicker with someone. And we have a lot of perfectly bilingual actors actually come from Montreal, and they may have moved to other cities, but you don't necessarily find out of Toronto or Vancouver.
Right.
So they are very much in need. So if you are a bilingual person, more occasion to work.
That's lovely. Thank you for that. Is there anything else that you would like to see more on your end? How do you want us to be more prepared for you and for all the opportunities?
Let's say we're sending in a self-tape for as a first audition, and there is nothing wrong with your self-tape. You are well prepared. The actor made nice choices, a really nice self-tape, but as you view it, you quickly understand that this is not what the director has in mind. And they tell us, wonderful actor, not what I'm looking for. So we try to give feedback to, especially on fiction, because on the commercial side, there's a volume of actors that we see a lot more. So it's, and those auditions are not as long and there's not as much material. So it's sometimes a little difficult to give feedback to an actor or agent after a commercial audition. Mm-hmm. But I try to give feedback when requested on the fiction side, because we don't necessarily request self-tape for as many actors for the role. And I think it's important to give feedback so the actors can actually understand why they didn't get it, or also what they did right or didn't understand with the scene. So I think it's important to guide them. But sometimes it's just that you did a wonderful job, but you're not necessarily right for this character. And we have to keep in mind there is one part, and you may be 5, 10, 15, 20 people that auditioned for that one part. And there's only one actor that will get it. And it doesn't mean that you're not good. It's just mean you're not right for that particular part. That's it. Actors have to understand that it's not personal. I think the most difficult part for anyone, mm-hmm. not just actors, but I think as human beings, we have to understand that we just did our very best, but we weren't the right person for this particular part.
It's so hard when someone is working so hard and it's years of no. And then they question themselves, what am I still doing in this industry? And my question to them, are you having fun? If you're having fun, keep going, because you don't know when it's going to happen. The date's going to happen, then it's all going to make sense. But everything you are doing, it's preparing you for that moment.
Absolutely. That's what's so important, is that you are on a continuous journey to learn about your craft, learn about yourself, because all this experience is making you a better person, a better actor, more aware of what's needed, what's not needed. If you don't love what you do and not taking joy out of acting, it shows. It really shows. I mean, that's the one thing that we notice when we audition people, is that the ones that come in and enter that room, like let's say if it's a live audition or if it's a Zoom audition, if it's a self-tape, we notice it when the person seems to be enjoying what they're doing. There's nothing worse than being desperate and coming into a room because, let's say, you really, really want this part because you'd love to be able to act, but also pay your rent this month. Desperation shows off. And on the contrary, the other actors that come in and do are very confident in what they have to offer and just do it, and then get out of the room, happy with the performance, happy that they enjoy what they did, and then that they know after that they can't control what other people think of their work and if they're going to get the part. Most often, these actors get it. It's just because we feel it. We feel the joy. We understand that there's pleasure in this. They are freer, I find, that other actors that come in is like, I want this part.
So I'm watching Maxim speak, and when he said freer, he opened his arms, and this is what I do too. As a dancer, you want to feel free in the space that you are creating. Yeah. Now, the ones that come in tight, you feel like you're stuck in a box where they tell you something and you do everything they say, doesn't mean that you're going to get the part. You're going to have to feel free in order to get directed. Oh, the direction part is something I love. When I watch directors direct actors, after the first direction and they don't take the direction, I'm like this going, oh my God, what's going in a director's mind when they don't take the first time direction?
Usually in an audition process and setting, we will allow the actor to do the first take as they prepared it. So it's their own preposition. They read the material. They may or may not know much about the story and where that particular scene takes place. But they come in with making up their own mind. They get a breakdown. They get a character description. They get a bit of a storyline, but they don't necessarily have all the details. And then they have to come up with some kind of backstory for their character. Mm-hmm. And that's great. We want to see that. But mm-hmm. what also is very telling for us as directors and casting directors is that let's say, okay, great first take. Let's explore. And let's change. And then we give them a bit of a backstory. And what's very telling is that if we don't see any change, that tells me, especially if this is repeated take after take, where an actor has so prepared themselves that they're not able to course correct in a way and change and take directions. That tells me that this actor needs to work on their craft some more to take directions.
Exactly.
Because you never know on set. You may have auditioned, let's say, for a commercial. You came in, you did a really good audition. We brought you back for a callback. You did another great audition. You get the part. And then you end up on set. And then you're not able to repeat what you did at the casting. Because of pressure, because it's very intense and concentrated work. There are many people on set. There are also especially clients that are looking at your work. And let's say the director with the client and maybe the agency creatives want to explore another avenue and they want to try to another direction with this situation and ask you to change it up and you're not able to. It causes a lot of friction and lots of
like
pressure on set, and you're not able to give them what they are asking you.
Yeah.
And it's the same in audition. If you're not able to change it up, sometimes we'll give a direction that makes not much sense with the way your character has been written on the page. We just want to see if you're able to go there.
Yeah.
You have range as an actor. Are you able to take direction, adapt, and change?
I love watching a director direct actors because I love to see the choices. I love to see them getting out of their comfort zone. So that for me is all the years of preparation and experience and all the coaching you've done. Now, for me, which is interesting because a lot of people come and train at my studio. I have a lot of industry professionals. I like changing it up. It's not only one teacher that's going to create the star in you. There is many people that are going to be able to bring you some skills in stage combat, some skills in improv or scene work or on camera work. There's movement work. There's so much to learn to be a complete artist. So like that, when you go in, you're just going to have fun. Fun and joy is what he keeps on saying. Maxim says joy a lot. So I really believe that when you do love what you do, it's going to appear and then they're going to love working with you. Is there anything else that you say, oh, maybe if they would all know to do this?
What we love is having some kind of angle on the material. Oftentimes we notice that actor come in, they are well prepared, they know their lines, but they've not made up their minds about who is this character and or how to actually play it. What we get in the audition process is something a little wishy-washy, like we don't have a clear image of what the actor wants to offer. So I call it a proposition, like come in with a very clear proposition, but be open to change it afterwards. Because once actor come in and they just do something and you're like, it's not quite there yet, and we have to work a lot more. So because each actor is unique, they come in with their physique, their physicality, their way of interpreting a character. That's what makes you you. Mm-hmm. So we want to see you. We don't want to see a generic actor. Mm-hmm. We want to see you with your personality. And then afterwards, we want to see if you're able to change it up. Can you offer other versions? Can you try something different? Can you add a sprinkle, a little bit of this, a little bit of that? It's like cooking. It's like it's a new ingredient. Are you able to bring a kind of special flavor? And oftentimes, actors that get the job come in with knowing full well who they are as a performer and knowing full well what they have to offer and being very confident, but not cocky, just confident. Here's me with my special flavor, no understanding that they can't control the decision process afterwards. So, and coming out of the room, I'm happy. I had fun. I enjoyed myself. The rest does not belong to me.
We want to see you with your personality. I love that. Listeners listening, come in with your personality.
There's maybe X amount of actors in your age range, mm-hmm. in your ethnicity. But what makes you you is your personality. We're looking for that little something that will, you know, light our desire. Like directors come in into a room. They're all different. Like actors, directors are very different. And some directors come in with a very clear idea of what they're looking for. And some other come in and they wait and they're hoping that they're going to find that one special person that they imagine, especially if they wrote the script themselves. Mm-hmm. Other director come in with no preconceived ideas and are just looking for the better actor to portray their character. Right. And other directors come in knowing nothing and just, you know, hoping to find inspiration right. in the room. You have to know who you are so you're able to offer who you are while you're acting.
On your end, how frustrated do you get when people come in not being prepared to meet the opportunity? Is it frustrating for you knowing that there are so much tools out there and people are just hanging out waiting for a phone call instead of taking action and taking their career in their hands and doing something about it?
What's very frustrating for us casting people is that let's say you got the audition, like your agent suggested you, submitted you on a project. The casting directors want to see what you can do and then see that the actors are not well prepared. They don't know their lines. They've not worked on a clear proposition for their character. That's very frustrating. I've heard a few of your other guests talk about this, but I think it's very important to seize the occasion and do your best, and also turn down
an audition.
If the material does not speak to you, that is fine. That is okay. I'd rather you do this. Let's say you receive the material, you read it over. It's not a character that speaks to you. Then I'd rather you turn down the audition than do a half-half job because you feel obligated to do it. You think that if you don't do it, the casting director won't bring you in. No, on the contrary, if you do a just a so-so job, they won't be necessarily thinking of you, because based on that, but they'll respect your decision to and that's fine. You have the right to say no to an audition.
So you listen to Industry Talk with past guests. It makes me so happy to hear that a casting director here in Montreal actually listened to my podcast.
That I just find it's important that actors get specialized information. And yes. Your podcast offers tons of information. So I just thought that was, I just wanted to hear what they had to say about working in casting or working as actors or different contribution to your podcast.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Maxime. C'est quoi la différence entre une publicité et une fiction?
Donc, quand on auditionne pour une publicité, on raconte une histoire d'une très, très rapide et on doit tout de suite pouvoir identifier dès le départ qui tu es parce que physiquement, on doit comprendre que tu es une mère de famille ou un travailleur de la construction ou un médecin ou une avocate. Dans une fiction, on a le temps de mettre en contexte qui tu es et pourquoi tu fais ce travail-là. Donc, en publicité, physiquement, le casting est important. Tu peux être le meilleur acteur au monde, mais si tu n'as pas, tu ne ressembles absolument pas à l'image qu'on a d'un travailleur de la construction ou d'une maman dans une publicité habituellement, tu ne probablement décrocheras pas le rôle. Donc, l'importance de ton apparence est encore plus importante en publicité qu'en fiction.
Et le processus d'audition pour les acteurs, ça serait-tu pareil? Il approche-tu de la même façon?
Oui, moi je pense que ça, il l'approche de la même façon. Donc, je pense que c'est la même chose. On cherche d'abord la proposition de l'acteur et après ça, on veut savoir le range de l'acteur. Donc, est-ce que cet acteur est capable d'aller... Moi, je parle beaucoup en alphabet quand je dirige. Est-ce que c'est un acteur qui a un range de A à F ou un acteur qui a un range de A à Z? Donc, et parce que tout le monde est différent. Il y a des acteurs qui ont des ranges plus larges. Il y a des gens qui sont des acteurs de comédie qui sont extrêmement drôles. Il y a des acteurs qui n'ont aucun timing comique et c'est OK. Il faut savoir qui on est et reconnaître qui on est comme acteur. C'est les similarités entre auditionner pour un commercial et pour de la fiction.
Maxime, can you speak to us about, like, what's the age range? If you are 15 and you look like 12 or 15 looking like 19, what does that all mean? Camera age, what does that mean?
So basically, as casting people, we are giving an age range for a character. And and what we say about this, it's not your actual age. It's the age you look on camera. So let's say you're a 15-year-old boy and you've not gotten your growth spurt yet. You still are very small. And you look younger than your age. You're not necessarily going to be brought in for a 15-year-old. You may be brought in for a 13-year-old. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with young women. Look older and more mature. And so they're going to be brought in for the age that they look on camera. That's what we call camera age. And same thing with adults. Men and women that look older than what their real age or look younger than what their real age is, and they'll be brought in for this. And oftentimes we're told by their agent, yes, but he or she is that old. That's not what I want. I want someone that looks that age. And yeah, but she's 16 but she looks 12.
Exactly. So you have to know your camera age. Let me put him on the spot. Everybody knows me. Whoever follows me knows me, knows how I look and knows my age. So how old do I look on camera, Maxim? He's getting too shy to answer. Well, I mean, this is a great example. I never take anything personal. I mean, exactly. I'm using me as an example because I it's good for everybody to know.
I always give like an age range, a 5-year age range. Yep. You're 50 and you may, you know, play 48 to 52. In your case, I think it's hard to tell. And the lighting is not...
Good lighting for Maxim today. I'm so sorry, Maxim, but you're not going to see me on camera. You're actually just going to hear my voice.
So I think you're in your 40s, and I think you're 40 to 45.
Okay, great. Yeah, you picked it. I'm right in the middle. That's perfect. So just to say, everybody that knows me, I played me as an example. So I do look my age on camera, which I'm really happy. I'm happy to be my age. And is it important to say our age, or should we always say when people ask our age, should we write our age or our camera age on CV or when they ask?
Like it's your age range. I think that's what we want to know.
Okay, perfect.
I mean, some people will ask. It's a personal choice. You can tell that us that we're like the actual rules. We cannot ask this question. We cannot ask this on an info sheet, for example, for a commercial. we're only allowed to ask because we don't want to discriminate. You know, it could be used as a discriminating factor. And so we only ask age range. And you can write it down or not. It's not mandatory.
Okay, because there are people that are 60 plus that look like 45. And I know a lot of my friends that look amazing on camera, but their age doesn't even equivalent.
And we're finding, I mean, it's very difficult for us casting people more and more because right now we're being asked to find grandmother types with gray or white hair.
Yes.
More and more ladies, you know, dye their hair into their later ages. And that's, once again, a personal choice. Nothing bad or good about it. It's you do you, as I often say.
Okay, thank you for clearing up the age situation on camera. I want to touch on a very important note for me. Me being a mom also of an artist that's in the industry. He's been doing this for 9 years. I coach a lot of mothers and young people starting in the industry where agents or casting directors will call me, whether it's TV or stage. Connie, we need this, this, this. I know the young actor is not ready for this, this, this kind of pressure because obviously it takes experience. And then the parent, lucky me, I'm in the industry. I can help my son and he's really well surrounded with professionals and mentors teaching him. I don't teach him. I make sure that people teach him, even if I'm in the industry. But these parents are left at home not knowing how to do a self-tape, not knowing how to do auditions. The kids are crying. The kids have pressure because obviously they want it, but they don't have the tools. We have to just open up on children acting in this business. What can you tell parents and what can we do to help?
It has to come from the child. There's nothing worse than a stage mom or stage dad. When the child is very, very young, they might not have much of a say in this because sometimes we are looking for very, very young kids for, you know, kids that are commercials or TV series. So, I mean, sometimes they fall into the business through that, but it has to remain as they grow older that there's some pleasure in it, that the kid is enjoying what they're doing. If the parent is, it's the parent that wants their child to do it. Oftentimes that won't work.
No.
The child will feel the pressure. The child will walk into a room, starts crying and when they're very young or kind of close off when asks things because they don't want to be there and we can feel it. So there's nothing worse than a parent pushing their children to do it.
Right.
But for the kids that initiate this or want to do it, I think what if a parent is feel at loss, just ask question. It's very easy. We all, as casting people, we all have a, we can write a little paragraph about how to film themselves. I'm part of the ADCQ, which is the Quebec Casting Directors Association. We worked on the perfect self-tape guidelines.
Yeah.
So basically, very clear and simple steps to do a self-tape at home when you don't know how to do it. So we can send you that. We have it. We send it most of the time when we have young children because we know parents that are not necessarily experienced. And we explain that as we send an audition request.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you don't get that and you don't have the information, ask your agent or ask the casting person if you don't have an agent.
Exactly. And get some coaches out there because there's private coaching. So instead of your child and you being lost at home, there's also coaches out there that could do the job. I really believe in coaching because the coaching makes a whole difference on the self-tape that you're going to be sending.
Exactly. As in terms of the acting, but just sometimes it's just basically the technical parts. Like they don't necessarily help. How many self-tape have I gotten where the child is, you know, in front of a window?
Yeah.
So you can't really see. So no, it's the other way around. You should be facing the window. The light coming from the window should light you and not the other way around.
Right.
Or having, like, when we do Zoom auditions, whether it's a child, a teenager, or an adult, some professional actors still have not gotten the hang of doing Zoom auditions. Mm-hmm. And we spend the first 2, 3, 4 minutes just technically asking them, okay, could you close your blinds because we can see the sun, or can you turn or off or on certain lights in because there's overhead lighting, really not flattering.
Right.
So we're not expecting people to have a ring light and have professional lighting and professional sound equipment, but we just need general, very simple guidelines. Find a spot close to the Wi-Fi, for example. Mm-hmm. So the Wi-Fi connection is good. There's nothing worse than, you know, being in a Zoom audition and, you know, the image and the sound stops nonstop because your Wi-Fi connection is not strong enough. The light, I mean, if you, you know, you're facing a window and we can't see you, then it's not interesting. And also, you know, most cell phone, iPads, or computers have a fairly good microphone.
Yeah.
But sometimes if you're too far, we can't hear you. Okay. So it's just that three basics. We need to see you. We need to, you know, you need to have a good connection, or be close to the router, and then we need good sound. That's it.
And are Zoom auditions still happening? Are they ever going to leave, or what's happening with that?
I think the pandemic has changed the industry. We did realize before the pandemic, especially for commercials, everything was done live. We didn't even request self-takes. Self-takes was a no-go for commercial. People wanted to see the actors in person. After the first 3 months of the pandemic, where nothing was happening in our industry, commercials were as the first segment of this industry to start again. The Quebec government needed to start producing COVID commercials, talking about COVID and how to protect yourself. It was the first segment of the industry to start. And we had to figure out ways to audition actors safely in the comfort of their own homes. And we, and Zoom became the tool that everyone started using. And I think people have realized that it's a very useful tool for a first round of auditions.
Right.
I think it's here to stay. I think especially for commercials, if an actor, because they're very short. I mean, the most you'll probably spend in a room for a commercial is, you know, 5-10 minutes at the max. So that request, you driving or using public transit to get to a studio in the pre-pandemic, that requested you to actually go to an audition room for a very short amount of time. So what we're doing now, I see it more and more, is that we do a first round of auditions through Zoom, because Zoom, there's someone directing you. So you come in with your first proposition. Then we direct you, because a self-tape is sometimes a shot in the dark, is you try something, and let's say you didn't have all the information. Maybe you did an okay audition, but that's not at all what they wanted to see. So at least with direct, you know, when you have a session director or direct the actual director directing you or a casting person directing you, we can see your position, and then we can see if you able to change it up and try other stuff and give us other ways of interpreting this character or this situation. And then we do in-person callbacks. Mm-hmm. So there's a big difference. I know a lot of actors are not happy with Zoom. They are missing the human connection. They're all alone, but I think it's here to stay. And that is requesting a very small involvement in your day, which is to be available to, you know, go in at that specific time, and then 10 minutes later, you're done. And all this out of your workplace and your home. That saves a lot in terms in that way. And then when we ask you to actually come in, is that this means you've gone to the next step, which is the callback, which means that you have more chances to get the part.
So you heard it here. Zoom auditions are here to stay, whether you like it or not. Get used to them. And stop complaining. Just do your job as the artist that you are. You want to do this, so do it. And get comfortable with being at home. Set it up and put a lot of love in that ambiance where the director comes into your environment. You feel safe and secure and confident to deliver whatever they are asking for in order for you to get your callback and go in the room so they can see you and direct you even closer. So it's up to you. It's a choice that you have to make. How do you see the evolution of our industry here in Montreal?
There's two very, very distinct industries within the larger industry, is that there's the Francophone side and then the Anglophone side. I mean, the productions are not the same. I heard you talk about this with Victoria Sanchez. On the French side, there's a star system. There's a lot of productions. There's which we don't necessarily see as much on the English side. And also we're film work. There's not a lot of independent cinema that is coming out of Montreal. What we get in terms of TV shows and is a lot of American productions being shot partly here or all of it here. On the contrary, on the French side, it's original material, original TV shows, feature films. So I think what's missing maybe on the English side is to expand a bit more into independent features. And I know it's not easy, request, you know, on the producing part, but I think what's missing is local independent work being created. And I think as actors, sometimes it's good to not necessarily wait for the phone to ring or for an email to arrive. I think is what's important also, and what's very nourishing, is that to surround yourself with other people that share the same values, but also originate some projects. Mm-hmm. Start up, you know, you want to shoot a web series, then write it, shoot it, find people to do it. And then same thing, why not write a script? You may not have never thought about, you know, being a screenwriter, but why not? Try it out. You may have a hidden talent you didn't know about, or it will help you understand what a professional screenwriter, because we're not all screenwriters. Or try to originate material, or, you know, you read a story that you think would make a great short film, then, you know, do it. And I think all of this helps you understand yourself as an artist better, and also helps you make connection and meeting other people that you may have not. Maybe let's say you shot a short film and it goes to a festival and you meet other creators, and that may generate other opportunities. If you stay at home alone and just basically work on your craft, you're not connecting with other people in the world, and you're maybe missing opportunities.
Oh, that's so well said, Maxim. Thank you so much. And it brings me to the topic of social media. Is it important for you to go see someone's social media accounts?
I think it's a personal choice. I find that a lot of actors decide not to do it, and that is fine. And we have to respect that. And other actors are, you know, are using these tools, because they are tools, mostly promotional tools, to tell us about their next project, but also who they are. And I think it's very interesting. But you just have to be mindful of what you're putting out there.
So if it's for your career, do not add any personal stories. But if it is your personal story, then put it on a personal Instagram and keep your professional career separate. So like that, you don't get mixed up in all that. Yeah, that's a great point. And special skills, how important are they for an artist?
Oh, I mean, if you do have them, you just never know what may be requested. Every day I get requests for something that I didn't even know existed. So if you do have, and if only put it on your resume, if you really do it and you're actually good at it, there's nothing worse than having, you know, bringing in an actor for something specific and then quickly realizing that they are not skilled at that activity. Right. It's just, you know, it's disappointing for everyone.
What message or impact do you want to share out there?
I want to tell them to work on their craft, be ready, but also be open. I think the openness to opportunities, directions is very, very important. And also be very proud of who they are as performers, because you're unique. No two actors are the same, and you will be often compared to people in the same age range or group. But what makes you you is your uniqueness. And that's what we want to see in the room when you're auditioning or on a self day or on the Zoom call. That's what we want to see. So be proud of who you are.
So next time you show up to an audition and Maxime Giroux is the casting director on it, you now know everything he wants and he's looking for. So don't come in not knowing your material or your script or whatever he said not to do, which I'm going to leave you off with. We want to see you with your personality. That's what he wants. Come in and be you, be wonderful you. Maxime Giroux, thank you for your time with us today. You shared so many valuable information with us, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.